All right, if you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Rupert, would you lead us in prayer again?
Lord Yeshua, help us to take this message into our hearts. And thank you for letting us all gather here and watch those that were not able to come today, and guide them back so that we can fellowship with them. For we know the scriptures say, don't give up the fellowship. Keep the fellowship. Study the word of God and encourage one another. In your holy name, we ask that you aid us in this. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Amen. Amen. Heroes. Think about it. As a child, I had a lot of, you know, what you'd call heroes. And heroes, you know, are those people or those characters that we want to be like. They have some qualities that we would love to have. Many of my heroes might be some of your... I can always remember one of my favorite heroes was always John Wayne. I always loved John Wayne. And, you know, he was... I guess I loved John Wayne because my dad liked John Wayne. You know how that does. How that goes. And but I thought John Wayne could do anything. He could be attacked by Indians and come out on top. He could be on the river and almost drowned and come out. He could be anywhere. And John Wayne always came back, except in The Shootist and Cowboys. We're the only two movies he didn't come back. But John Wayne was, he was one of my heroes. And, you know, it, as far as that athletics, coming from Detroit, my heroes are more of a Detroit theme. L.K. Line, Alex Karras, Gordie Howe were some of my heroes as a child. They were, you know, athletes. I imagine that if you think about it in your mind, you think about who was your heroes. You know, what kind of hero did you have? How important was that hero in making you who you are today? I can remember in an English class that the teacher got up and she said, well, I'm going to go to the board. I'm going to write down, you everybody call out heroes. And so everyone in the class is throwing names out and she's writing these names down and heroes and a big list of heroes. And at the end of it, she stopped and she said, there's some that you've forgotten. And I thought, it looks like you got everybody in, you know, living and dead covered. And she said, what about your parents? Are your parents your heroes? Well, yeah, sort of, kind of. You know, as I get older, the more so it becomes true. And she said, and no one said Jesus Christ. She said, how come none of you all said Jesus? Oh, I was a little embarrassed, Rupert, because I was thinking, you know, I was a Christian. I was called to the ministry even, you know, prior to this. And I thought about everybody in the world except for Jesus. Oh, I was so convicted. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't mention it. But she's right. We have all these heroes that we say that we like this one, we follow this one, this one touches us, this one leads us. But we forget about the one hero that has changed our lives and changed the world. As heroes go, you think about this. Number one, a hero is someone who has changed society. Someone who's changed society. Number two, it's someone who has made life easier for someone else or for, you know, people as a whole. Third one is the one we more likely think of, is someone who puts their life in danger to save others. And we've seen a lot of heroes like that in the military and in fire and in police and a lot of people who are just willing to give their life or put their life on the line, no matter what the consequences are, in order to save people. Now, we all agree that's a hero. We all agree that maybe that a hero changes things. Jesus, by definition, is the perfect hero, isn't he? He covered all those areas. We don't think about it. Webster says about heroes, a figure of divine descent endowed with great strength or ability, a person admired for achievements and noble qualities, one who shows great courage. Well, that pretty well does continue to describe. So we're going to talk about my hero, Jesus. You know, sometimes we just need to praise, don't we? Sometimes we just need to think about just how great God is, and sometimes just how wonderful Jesus is. And this is the time we're going to think about Jesus as my hero. If he's not your hero now, I hope he is when you leave this morning. He'll be your number one hero. But following Jesus, more than identification, following Jesus is not a matter of simple belief. Following Jesus with all we are is a decision that will affect our worldview and choices we make, our relationships, our entire life. Think about following versus participation. A lot of us Christians are followers, but that's all we are. I'm a follower of the Kentucky Wildcats basketball team. I'm a follower. Follower. I wear the jersey. I wear the hat. I yell and scream. I even got one of those big rubber hands with the number one finger on it. This finger. And I've got all of that. So I'm a follower. I follow them. I try to watch every game that they are, that they're on TV, that I can watch and follow what they're doing. But I'm not a participant. If Calipari looked up and said, "Smith, I want you to come and play forward." Yeah, that's going to happen. I want you to run up and down the court. Get me a wheelchair or give me one of those hover carts. I said, but I'm not a participant, but I'm a follower. Too many Christians are followers and not participants. We can talk about it. We like to keep the score. We like to be safe on the sidelines. But we don't want to be a participant. We just want to be a follower. And that's a big difference. Simply following does not make us a disciple. Being a disciple ups the ante just quite a bit. Wearing the uniform, wearing the hat, waving the rubber, the foam hand does not make you a disciple. It still makes you just a follower of Jesus and not a disciple. You think about Jesus is our hero. When Jesus called his disciples, he saw something within them that they didn't know was there. He saw the possibilities. He saw what they could be versus what they were. He saw that there was something different in each one of the men that he called. Believe it or not, I even believe Judas. There was a possibility, but Judas went the other way. But he sees something in all of us that we can't see in ourselves. And so you think about someone searching for change in the world, change in their life, change in the heart, will find it through hero Jesus. Because Jesus changes lives. He changes society. Number two, they were just ordinary men. They were just ordinary. They couldn't leap buildings. They couldn't. Well, Peter tried to walk on water, but you know, there wasn't anything magical or mystical about the disciples. They were just ordinary fishermen, tax collectors, zealot, tradesmen. Ordinary. But they were willing to give up the ordinary to do extraordinary things. They were willing to give up the ordinary in order to do, you know, wonderful, marvelous things through Jesus. Number three, someone who wants to do something beyond themselves. You think about that this morning. Are you content right now where you are, or do you want to be able to do something beyond who you are? Do you want to go past who you are to do something to change the world, and hopefully through Jesus? I think one of the things we have to be very careful is we don't want to mistake busyness in working for Jesus. They're not the same. I know a lot of Christians that keep busy, but they're only being busy to keep busy. I know a lot of people who do things for the church just because, and not doing it because of the Lord, they're just being busy. And I think we as Christians a lot of times get into the busyness, but we forget about the work. There's a big difference. Keeping busy versus really get in there working. That's what a disciple does. The disciple gets in there and works and digs in and does what needs to be done. I think Martha and Mary are a perfect example. Martha was busy. Mary was a worker. She discipled. She sat at the feet of Jesus wanting to know what more she could do. So I grant you, I think you'll all agree with this. Following Jesus is not for the faint-hearted. Is it? Following Jesus is not for the faint-hearted. Hardship, ridicule, abuse. That's what we end up getting as a result of following Jesus. He never said it wasn't going to happen. He never said everything in life is going to be, as you hear all the time, a bed of roses, or it's not going to be, you know, all, you know, good and wonderful and flowery. It's not going to be that way. Those are followers that just give up when hardship, when ridicule, when abuse happens. They give up. We don't need followers. We need participants. We need people who are willing to take that step and get across and do something a little bit different. They need to be, like, the second thing is that Jesus was the disciples' hero. Now, this is what they saw in Jesus. He said, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In other words, Jesus was saying, "Are you tired of doing the same old, same old?" It's like Jesus walked up, and in our terms, he said, "Are you sick and tired of doing the same thing every stinking day, doing fish and old and smelly fish every day? That stink and that stench. Are you tired of that? You don't have to stay there. Are you tired of the same old humdrum? As we said, are you tired of the same old stuff? Are you tired of looking back at the previous day and see that you're still doing the same thing today that you did yesterday and the day after, but prior to the day prior, and probably a year from now you're going to be throwing this net out in the same place you were today? Are you tired of that?" You know, you think about that, and as we look at Jesus, and he's asking you, are you tired of the same old, same old? Are you tired of doing the same thing today that you did yesterday and the day back, blah, blah, blah? He's challenging the disciples to do something different, changing the world. And it starts with their world. And then it radiates out. When we grow in Christ, we start moving away from being just a follower. We start becoming a participant, and we start becoming a disciple. Too many people follow. When Jesus fed the thousands, and they continued to go after, how many of them do you think were disciples, and how many of them were followers? I'd say most of them were followers. Because if you can sit on the hillside and somebody's going to feed you and even deliver it to you, and you don't have to do anything but sit there, how many people are going to say, sign me up? Followers. Well, Jesus required someone to go get the fish and to pass the fish out and to be a participant. Those were the disciples. So if you're going to do for Jesus, you're going to be a disciple. If you're going to have to be done by everybody else doing for you, you're a follower. You're a follower. Jesus had confidence. Jesus believed when he chose these men. And don't think as Jesus was going along, he accidentally picked these men. Jesus says, I saw you under the tree. In other words, he's saying, I had you already picked out. I already knew who you were. I already knew who I wanted. You think he went by Levi accidentally and said, oh, he might make a good one? No. Jesus already had who he wanted as he went by and he called each one of his disciples because he knew the possibilities. They had to agree. They had to be involved. They had to say yes. They had to go from being a follower to a disciple in order for these great things to happen. But they had to agree. Jesus is not the hero that you're going to read the paper the next day who got in a car wreck for being drunk, who beat up his wife, or who did this or did that. That's not the Jesus. Those are heroes that you read in the paper. And I don't know how many times I read in the paper about an athlete who is, you know, hurt his family or hurt his wife or who is on drugs or who is, you know, on alcohol or in ruin their lives and ruin their career on and on and on. That's not my hero. My hero is Jesus, who is the same today and tomorrow and the every day yet to come. He is not going to change. He's not going to be disappointing. He's not going to be a failure. He's not going to come up short. Jesus is always going to be on top. Jesus is always somebody that I want to be with. He's the one I want to follow. He's the one I want to listen to. When you compare all these earthly heroes to Jesus, is there any comparison? You know, we could just kind of move them away and put Jesus in the middle. Not only do I want to follow Jesus or be with Jesus, I want to be like Jesus. The disciples wanted to be with Jesus. They wanted to be with him all the time. They wanted to be around him. You know, you don't read where they're off wandering unless Jesus sends them out. You know, you see, there are occasions that Jesus would send them out two by two, and we read that, but most of the time they were always together. And he was always teaching. He was always loving. He was always the example. And they wanted to be with him. Then, as time goes on, being with Jesus, you want to be like Jesus. How many of y'all would like to be like Jesus? How many of us would like to be like Jesus? I'd love to be like Jesus. Will I ever be? Does that keep me from trying, Rupert? No. It doesn't keep us from trying. And we have that commitment that we continue to work on it and do better and better and better and better. We need that commitment to Jesus. People have got to be more important to us, as we talked about in Sunday school. People have got to be more important, and Jesus has got to be more important to us than projects and policies and procedures and politics and heroes and sports. Jesus has got to be better, and we have to be more committed to Jesus than we are all that other stuff. The wonderful thing about Jesus didn't say, I only want certain people. What did Jesus say? I want everybody. For my only begotten son who died on the cross, that all, not just one or two, but all might know him as their Savior. So to be like Jesus, we must set priorities. That's number one. You have got to set your priorities. Finding ways to include others and look for ways to love them and be with them and show them what Jesus is all about. Because people are your priority. People are your priority if you want to be like Jesus. Jesus came to the trees and to the animals and to the rocks. No, Jesus came for people. And because of people. Because he loved people. Number two, to be like Jesus, we must seek, you know, purity. Honest morality. Set a higher standard and expect a higher standard in others. But if they fall, do we forget them and push them aside? One thing I'll never forget, Barry Jude said this to me one time. Barry Jude said that the army of Christ is the only army that shoots the wounded. You think about that. The army of Jesus is the only one that shoots the wounded. We're not willing to forgive. We're not willing to go back and lift up. We leave them behind and then we shoot them as we're getting away from them. People make mistakes. People make mistakes. And that's okay. You set a higher standard, but if you fall, doesn't mean that you have to stay there. It means that you have to get back up and get that off and get back doing what Jesus would have you to do. Number three, you got to turn from Satan's ways and the world's ways. You've got to be different. You've got to be different. You have to look at things in a different way. You have to look at things through a different heart and a different mind. And be willing to run. Run that race. One of the things that we know as a Christian is not a what? It's not a short race. It's not a dash. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. So are you in or out? Are you in or out? Which one are you? Are you part-time Christianity? Are you just part-time? My dad used to always say part-time, no time. If you're part-time, you're no time, right? You're either really in or you're really out. You're not just kind of in between. So are you a part-time Christian? Are you seeking something different? Now this is where I'd love to be one of those salesmen. Are you looking for something different? Is there something that you want different in life that can change you, change your world, change everything about you, change those around you, and turn your world upside down? I've got it right here. I've got it. It's called Jesus. I'd love to be able to, you know, be that type of attitude as a salesman and let the world know just how important Jesus is. How important. Choose to be a disciple, not a follower. Be a disciple. Grant you have to be a follower, don't you, and believe in Jesus before you become a disciple. But just don't stay there. Become a disciple. There's always room for more than just the 12. He wants all of us to be a disciple. Jesus, is he your hero? Is Jesus your all? Think about, let Jesus have all that you are this year. Starting right now, let Jesus have your all. Ryan, why not try to turn him over to him, your life, your devotion, your commitment, your all. You think about what are things that we can take away? What are some of our takeaways? Heroes are people who change society. Jesus turned society and the world upside down. Upside down, didn't he? When he preached about love and forgiveness, the religious leaders at the time said, "You've lost your ever-loving mind. What do you mean love people that hate me? How can I love somebody that despises me? How can I love when they don't deserve it?" Jesus changed all of that. Heroes are people who have made life easier for the people and the masses around them. Through Jesus, we can face anything. He's made it easier. My burden is light. Isn't that what he said? Why is it light? Because he gets in there and helps carry it. And there's at times where he carries the whole thing. Heroes face the conflict, and they risked their own safety in life. Jesus gave his, right? He gave his. Following Jesus is not for the what? Faint-hearted. It is not for the faint-hearted. And please don't make the mistake of being busy with working for Jesus. Being busy. I used to get so tickled when my dad would give us, my brother and I, a job. We could, when he would come around, we could look as busy as you can imagine. Just like busy bees. I mean, we looked like we were just, and when he stepped away, what did we do? We stopped doing what he thought we were doing, and we went out and did what we wanted to do. Sometimes it cost us. Cost us dearly. But being busy is not working. Because busy doesn't accomplish anything, does it? No. It doesn't accomplish anything. But working makes a difference. Jesus is not a celebrity. He is a Savior. He is not a celebrity. He is a King. He's not a celebrity. He's the ruler of it all. He's not just some flash in the pan celebrity. He's all there is. So the last thing I challenge that we can take away is choose to be a disciple again and not just be a follower. Be a disciple. A disciple gives it all. But it's you have to make a conscious effort to do it. You're not just going to wake up one morning and say, oh, I'm a disciple. It doesn't happen that way. It's a gradual process in working in that direction of being a disciple. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you that, and Lord, let us help us to be a disciple instead of just a follower. Let us be a participant and not just a cheerleader. Let us get in there and work and do that what you would have us to do. Father, I also want to take a minute and just lift up all of our children, our young people, as we have a new school year, that they will be blessed, and that through their life and through you, they will be able to bless others in Jesus' name. Father, please keep them safe and that they'll learn all that they can learn and they can become all that you want them to become. Father, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.